It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, yes, yes, indeed. Hello, hello, welcome, welcome, one and all. It is Wednesday, April the 12th, 2023, 4-12-23. Next year, April 12th will be cool, because it'll be 4-12-24, and that's always cool. Multiples of two are awesome. Anyway, hello, hello, shout out to everyone in comm, getting to comm, coming along. I'm here on the dot at 1900 UTC, which is not always that common, at least not lately, so sorry about that. I couldn't find my traditional headphones, so I'm wearing my Bluetooth headphones, so if I sound funny, that's why. I'm enjoying a Barks root beer. Root beer is something I don't drink a whole lot of, but I sure do enjoy it. So anyway, enjoying that. Out in my car, in the garage, so it's like the soundproof booth. Hey, Publius and Oak 3 and Exile, everyone in comm, if you want to chat and interact during the show, all you gotta do is SSH over to sdf.org, and then once you're there, press G for go to, and then type a non-radio, all lowercase. Oh, you gotta type comm first, C-O-M, press enter, then G, and then a non-radio. let's check the back of the label, see if we got caffeine, carbonated water, high fructose corn syrup, caramel color, sodium benzoate, citric acid, caffeine, yep, there it is, artificial and natural flavors, and acacia. Caffeine content is 36 milligrams per 20 fluid ounces. Wow, low sodium. So yeah, I used to drink mug root beer and IBC root beer when I was a member of the Latter-day Saints for a few years. Hey, it's a Coca-Cola product. so they're like, oh, if it's Coca-Cola, we got to put caffeine in it. But that's a little bit of trivia for you today. Thank you for being here. Hey, Quentin. Howdy, howdy. So today, I've got our news, but I got to tell you, it was a slow news day as far as news days go. So we'll probably be bouncing between news that I wanted to deliver yesterday, but I couldn't find my headphones, and news that came out today. So if you looked at the link I sent yesterday on, I posted it in comm and I posted it on Mastodon, then you may have already heard one or two of the stories. We'll find out, you know, it'll be kind of one of the things we learn together. Let's go to our bookmarks. We go to bookmarks. And then we go to bookmarks, desktop bookmarks, bookmarks menu, news to me, April 12, boom. Alrighty, so first, I guess, let's talk about the death, death and destruction. Always, that's where we got to start. Let's get into it. First, in Tunisia. The Tunisian Coast Guard said Wednesday that 10 migrants from sub-Saharan Africa who were trying to reach Europe illegally died after their boat sank in the Mediterranean Sea off the coast of Tunisia. 72 migrants were rescued and 10 bodies recovered after the sinking of the boat on Tuesday. This is off of Sfax in east central Tunisia. National Guard spokesman Hussein Jabali told AFP. In a statement, the National Guard said Tuesday to have foiled two operations of illegal crossings off of Sfax and a second in the north of the country. In total, 76 migrants, including only four Tunisians, were rescued. So, yeah, 20 and 30 people are missing, 10 dead. A boat, we don't have the whole story. The Guardian, I think, AP has the full story, but a fisherman that was out fishing in South America off the coast saw a boat just floating, and he went, and when he got there, it was full of dead people. And what had happened was people leaving off the coast of Africa trying to get to the Canary Islands And when they're going to the Canary Islands, they missed it, or they got caught up in some trade winds or something. And so they got sucked right across. They went across the Atlantic. They did not plan for the trip, so everyone was dead by the time they got there. Publius posting in comm. If anybody wants to buy me a really expensive toy, there's this working model nuclear power plant available. So jump over into comm if you want to buy Publius a nuclear power plant. Alrighty. What else is going on? There's a lot of stuff. Don't worry. Who else is dead? Well, really, that's the only death story I ran across today. There is a state of emergency in Italy over the immigration crisis. Say the words. Italy's cabinet on Tuesday announced a state of emergency on immigration following a sharp rise in flows across the Mediterranean. The state of emergency is backed by initial funding of 5 million euros, the Ministry for Sea and Civil Protection said, and will last for 6 months. Let it be clear, we are not solving the problem. The solution can only depend on responsible intervention by the European Union, said Nello Musumeci, the Civil Protection Minister. The measure will allow Giorgia Meloni's right-wing government to more quickly repatriate those not allowed to stay in Italy, boosting identification and expulsion orders, a government source said. The government in office since October has pledged to curb mass immigration, but some 31,300 migrants have arrived so far in 2023. Interior Ministry data shows up from around 7,900 in the same period last year. So any country is going to have trouble dealing with a fourfold increase in migrant, but 30,000 is a lot. So yeah, and they brought on 1,200 people just on Monday with that one big operation. So very trying times around the Mediterranean continue. And let's see, we had one more thing about Italy, or I thought I did. India, France. Here it is. Giorgia Meloni's government declares war on same-sex parents. So this is kind of sad and full of hate, but here's the heads up. Surrogate motherhood is a crime worse than pedophilia, is the quote. Here we're dealing with people who want to choose a kid like a paint color for their house. Fratelli d'Italia spokesman Federico Moloconi's words on March 20th disgusted liberal opinion and would have been more shocking if they weren't the standard fare of the new government. This isn't just harsh rhetoric. In its worst offensive against civil rights yet, Giorgia Meloni's administration is stripping same-sex couples of recognition as parents, also threatening their access to benefits and child care services. The Prime Minister's party often describes the threat to Italy's future in the alarmist tones of the Italian people disappearing. However, Fratelli d'Italia riles up right-wing voters not so much by pointing to the decline in overall population numbers as by claiming that the traditional white Christian population is being replaced by a more diverse one. In this sense, shutting down the limited freedoms of same-sex couples is part of a much broader agenda, defending a natural family. It means fewer rights for other types of family, from LGBTQ people to immigrants. So it's a little bit of fiery bit of information / news from David Broder over there at The Nation. So I just wanted to... Oh no, my TTY died. Connecting back to sdf.org. One moment. All right, I'm back in comm. Let's see what I missed. Let's see. Oh, yeah. The ocean currents will carry you to Brazil if you are off the water. So that's why those people heading for the Canary Islands ended up there. Bundaberg is the best root beer I've tasted from Quentin. Bundaberg, I believe, makes a digestive. They've started selling it at a few different bars I go to. Supposed to be like, after you're done drinking, drink this digestive. It's got a lot of, it's very herbally, a lot of herb, strong herb flavor. Ah, Zeptar knows what's up. Hey, Zeptar, long time no see. Yes, Barks has bite. Barks. Let's see. And Quentin points out, check out Fever Tree for amazing ginger ale. And a few other good kinds. So there you go. There we're talking soda pop or Coke or soda or carbonated beverages, whatever you want. Anyway, jump into calm if you want to have fun and enjoy life and be successful and have people love you. And what else could we say? It'll make your skin clearer and whoever your romantic desires will be all fulfilled. All you have to do is join Anon Radio. Go to com and join the Anon Radio room. and listen to the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every goddamn day at 19:30 UTC. If you need or you're looking for any of those cure-alls, talk to Tobe. Don't ask me. Just talk to Tobe during the Dubious Goals Committee at 19:30 UTC every goddamn day. The mystery is at the bottom of a marmot hole. All right. So what else is happening? Well, we're going to go to space. Well, the Europeans are going to go to space. A new chapter in humanity's search for extraterrestrial life opens on Thursday as Europe's JUICE spacecraft, that's Juliet Uniform India Charlie Echo JUICE spacecraft, blasts off on a mission to investigate the icy moons of Jupiter. First discovered by Italian astronomer Galileo Galilei more than 400 years ago, these ice-covered moons are so far from the sun that they were long dismissed as possible candidates to host life in our backyard. Until recently, the solar system's habitable zone was thought to end at Mars. French astrophysicist Athena Koustinis, one of the scientific leads of the European Space Agency's JUICE mission, told AFP. But NASA's Galileo probe to Jupiter in 1995 and the more recent Cassini spacecraft trip to Saturn caused scientists to broaden their horizons. The gas giant planets themselves were correctly ruled out, but their icy moons, particularly Jupiter's Europa and Ganymede and Saturn's Enceladus and Titan, offered fresh hope of nearby life. Under their icy surfaces are thought to be huge oceans of liquid water, a crucial ingredient for life as we know it. Nicholas Altobelli, a JUICE project scientist at ESA, said it would be the first time that we could explore habitats beyond the frost line between Mars and Jupiter. Beyond that line, temperatures plummet and liquid water can no longer exist on the surface. The Jupiter's Icy Moons Explorer, JUICE, that's what JUICE is for, Jupiter Icy Moons Explorer mission, launches from Europe's spaceport in Kourou, French Guiana, on Thursday, on an 8-year odyssey through space. By July 2031, it will have entered Jupiter's orbit, from which it will probe Ganymede, Europa, and Callisto. Then in 2034, JUICE will enter the orbit of Ganymede, the first time a spacecraft has done so around a moon other than our own. As well as being the largest moon in the solar system, Ganymede is also the only one that has its own magnetic field, which protects it from dangerous radiation. This is just one of several signs that Ganymede's hidden ocean could provide a stable environment for life. Unlike similar missions to Mars, which focus on finding signs of ancient life long since extinguished, scientists hope Jupiter's icy moons will still be home to living organisms, even if only tiny or single-celled. So, very exciting. And imagine if they're delicious. How cool would that be if it was like, oh, look, we found some simple life on this strange planet, and it tastes like chicken. let's see what we got here. Space, yes. No, not Haitian weed, Colorado weed. Oh, okay. Jupiter might support life, but we wouldn't necessarily even be able to recognize it. Star shrimps. Yeah, so you never know. But yeah, so that's what's going on in space, at least with JUICE, with the JUICE probe. We also have other space news to go into. I just need to go back to April 11th. Specifically, here it is. SpaceX has revealed when it's planning its first orbital launch of the most powerful rocket yet from SpaceX. SpaceX anticipated orbital launch of its Starship spacecraft will happen towards the end of April. Starship launch trending towards near the end of third week of April, the Tesla SpaceX chief tweeted on Monday. The 120-meter-tall rocket, made of parts designed to be reusable, has been made with the aim to take astronauts to deep space and is the centerpiece of the plans to colonize the Moon and Mars. With deals already in place with NASA to use the spacecraft to carry astronauts to the Moon as part of the Artemis missions, SpaceX plans to test the rocket. The planned orbital flight test would see Starship and its Super Heavy booster lift off from SpaceX's Starbase facility in Texas before splashing down off the coast of Hawaii. The U.S. Federal Aviation Administration has posted a planning notice last week which said the launch date was expected to be April 10th, with backup dates on the 11th and 12th. Hey, that's today. FAA Operations Plans Advisory Report marked April 17th as a primary target launch date, with the 18th to 22nd listed as backup dates. Sounds more like it. SpaceX had already completed a high-altitude flight test for the Starship prototype, but many of the earlier tests ended in the rocket exploding. The FAA has also instructed SpaceX last year to complete an environmental review and adjust flight conditions to avoid disrupting wildlife. So, we'll see how that goes, but another step towards moving into the moon, or at least getting set up. So, this will be pretty neat. So anyway, I'm just kind of excited about that. You can or cannot be excited. It's up to you. But that's what's happening in space. That's our space news for you. Space, plane, FBI. Trying to find the other story here. All right. Let's talk about nuclear. Nuclear power is always fun. China and France have agreed to expand nuclear cooperation. Cooperation agreements in the field of nuclear energy have been signed between China and France during a state visit by French President Emmanuel Macron to Beijing. The latest agreements between China General Nuclear, CGN, and China National Nuclear Corporation, CNNC, and EDF, build on 40 years of previous cooperation between the two countries. In a joint statement following the April 5th to 7th visit, the two countries said, in their common desire for a transition to a carbon-free energy system, France and China are developing pragmatic cooperation in the field of civilian nuclear energy within the framework of the Cooperation Agreement for the Peaceful Uses of Nuclear Energy between the two governments. So this is great. This will be cool. The more countries we can get working together to advance nuclear power, the better off the whole world's going to be. So this is pretty cool. We go to today's nuclear news to let you know. In India, installed nuclear capacity is set to more than triple by 2031, and nuclear power plants are likely to generate about 9% of the country's electricity by 2047. According to Minister of State Jitendra Singh, India's nuclear power plants generated more than 3% of its electricity last year, despite representing only 1.6% of the country's installed capacity. The 47,112 terawatt-hour of electricity generated by India's nuclear reactors in 2021 to 2022 was about 3.15% of the total electricity generated, he told Parliament on April 5th. In written answers to questions, he confirmed that installed nuclear capacity is set to increase from 6,780 megawatts electricity to 22,480 megawatts electricity or energy by 2031. So this will be very exciting. Hopefully they're doing everything in a nice safe pace and they don't cut any corners. But very cool. Let's see. Zeptar pointing out China has 200 million nuclear warheads, which is quite a lot. Seems we'll want to check that out. Let's see. Up the trees. Publius points out that India has its own, has had nuclear power since 1970, and it produces its own CANDU reactors. If you remember, those CANDU reactors were the cool reactors that can use raw plutonium. Or uranium, excuse me, raw uranium out of the earth. So everything hinges on their fast breeder program. So we'll see how that goes. But anyway, it's very exciting. The the speed at which the world is saying, you know what, let's go back to nuclear, let's try it out. Germany doesn't seem like they've turned their nuclear plants back on, but we'll see what happens. Coming in with the environment, let's jump back over to some news. Here's some destruction for you. A huge blaze at Indiana recycling plant spews toxic smoke. As some countries and some parts of the world try and clean up the atmosphere and the world, the United States seems pretty hell-bent on destroying whatever environment we have. Such is life, I guess. Here's what we've got. A huge blaze in an Indiana recycling plant has prompted the mass evacuation of more than 2,000 residents. The fire broke out on Tuesday afternoon, leading to residents within a half mile of the plant in Richmond, Indiana, being placed under evacuation order because of the large industrial fire. The Wayne County Emergency Management Office said the evacuation area includes about 2,011 residents. Officials said anyone downwind from the area needed to shelter in place. Indiana State Fire Marshal Stephen Jones, SMJ is, Indiana State Fire Marshal Stephen Jones told the press, "The smoke is definitely toxic. We don't want the residents in the smoke. As the wind changes, we may change the direction of the evacuations." Richmond Fire Chief Tim Brown said one firefighter injured his ankle when falling down a ravine, but he was treated and released from the hospital. I don't know why they include those in the injury reports and these things. It's like, we want to know if somebody got hurt, like, fighting the fire, or, like, if a building fell on him, or, like, something like that. But Joey tripped and twisted his ankle. I don't know why that's in here. Anyway, the plant's located near the state border between Indiana and Ohio. Chief Brown said it's partly publicly owned by the city of Richmond and partly by a private citizen. He has been warned several times, the chief said. We have an unsafe citation that was issued to him. We don't know exactly when that was, but we were aware of the situation and we are dealing with the situation. The plant was previously used by Hofco Comet Industries. The firm made garden products for 6 decades before it was shuttered in 2009. A report by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, Cybersecurity, and Infrastructure Security so provided that information. And now, it processes recycling materials like plastic. There's a host of different chemicals plastic give off when they're on fire, so it's concerning, he told the media on Tuesday. So, if you're in that area, watch out. Do not do as Jeff does and try and roast marshmallows on the giant plastics fire. Calm is a fun place to be. So, if you're not in Calm, you're missing out. If you can't get into Calm, it's okay. I don't want to make you feel bad. It's just Calm is always a blast. Alrighty. Well, we've got about 7 minutes to go, so let's look at what else we got going on. Ah, man. That root beer barks has bite. It's good stuff. Alright, so let's talk about this. The U.S. is warning about a new drug or a drug cocktail that's happening right now. Joe Biden's drug czar has named a veterinary tranquilizer as an emerging threat when it's mixed with fentanyl, clearing the way for more efforts to stop the spread of xylazine. Xylazine! That'd be a good, like, username or a band name or something. The Office of National Drug Control Policy announced the designation on Wednesday, the first time the office is used. Oh, it was a bird. Hummingbird or something flew by. Anyway, the Office of National Drugs announced the designation on Wednesday, the first time the office has used it since the category for fast-growing drug dangers was created in 2019. Rahul Gupta, director of the Drug Policy Office, said xylazine has become increasingly common nationwide. As the president's drug policy advisor, I'm deeply concerned about what this threat means for the nation. It was detected in about 800 U.S. drug deaths in 2020, mostly in the Northeast. By 2021, it was present in more than 3,000 fatalities, with the most in the South, according to a report last year from the DEA. We cannot ignore what we're seeing, Gupta said. We must act and act now. Xylazine was approved for veterinary use in 1971, sometimes known as TRANQ, T-R-A-N-Q, like short for tranquilizer. It has been showing up in supplies of illicit drugs used by humans in major quantities in only the last few years. It's believed to be added to other drugs to increase profits. Officials are trying to understand how much of it is diverted from veterinary use and how much is made illicitly. The drug causes breathing and heart rates to slow down, sometimes to deadly levels, and can cause skin abscesses and ulcers that can require amputation. Withdrawals are also very painful. While it's often used in conjunction with opioids, including fentanyl and other lab-made drugs, it is not an opioid, and there are no known antidotes. So this is one of those drugs where if you give somebody naloxone, it's not going to help them. Gupta said his office is requesting $11 million as part of its budget to develop a strategy to tackle the drug's spread. Plans include developing an antidote, learning about how it's produced into introduced into illicit drug supplies, and looking into whether Congress should classify it as a controlled substance. So yeah, just wild, wild stuff there. Let's see what's going on. Hey, Stern, welcome, welcome. y'all, the comm is fun. Comm is a fun time. Sorry, I'm just kind of all over the place. I'm upset because the news day was slow and yesterday I was out. But you know what? Hey, you live, you learn, you laugh, you love, you learn, all that stuff. Check this out. This will be a good ending story for us. An employee at a Chinese company has won 365 days of paid annual leave. Could you imagine being given a year off? Too good to be true? An employee of an unnamed firm in Shenzhen, China, was the envy of a nation when he won a year's worth of paid leave at his company's annual dinner on Sunday. The man, who reportedly holds a managerial position in his firm, was seen in a viral video holding a big check with the words 365 days of paid leave emblazoned on it. An administrative employee at the company identified as Ms. Chen can be heard in the video explaining that the winner had sought to clarify repeatedly if the prize was real. Even the boss was stunned someone had won the prize, she said. The company's annual dinner had not been held for 3 years due to the pandemic, according to Chinese media, and a lucky draw was held this time round to provide its employees some relief from work stress. Ms. Chen added that the company will discuss with the winner if he would prefer to enjoy, his paid leave or get cash. Local media reported the man often travels as part of his job responsibilities. I don't know how that's relative. Reports of the large prize have raised envy among Chinese netizens, with some inquiring tongue-in-cheek about vacancies at the company. The unusual nature of the prize left others discussing its practicality. One commenter said, "Dare he accept the prize? After a year, he might return to find someone else in his role." It's not the first time a Chinese company has offered a year of paid leave as a lucky draw grand prize. In January 2022, a sales employee from another company in Shenzhen struck the jackpot of 365 days of paid leave. The employee ended up converting a portion of it into cash and donated part of it to local charities. So, anyway, I thought that was pretty cool. Oh, wrong way. Sorry, I smelled something, and I was like, what is it? It's the problem being in the garage. You can smell all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. What would you do? If I won a year off, I'd probably want to cash out half of it and then take the other half off. And then I would use it to just, like, travel around. I don't know. Or I guess you could cash it all out and then, like, that's like a whole annual leave, a whole year's pay as a bonus. So I guess you could use that to just pay off your house or something. I don't know. I'm not a financial advisor. You know who is also not a financial advisor? Our good fearless leader, Tobe. The Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe's coming up at 19:30 UTC. So please enjoy that, and I'll be back tomorrow. Press equal and calm to see the schedule.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.